So go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts 2 and put a tassel in James 1. And so this morning in our Lord's Supper, we pray to hear the message of God. That this is not just a Sunday service that we come in with a group of people and sing a few songs and pray a prayer and listen to a man speak until we go on with our life. No, we have come here because we believe that there is nothing more important and more influential than what we're about to do, and that is to rest in the sovereign, wonderful, beautiful truth of God's Word. And so we come in here this morning not to listen to a man, but to hear a message of God. That is what we come here today in our Lord's Supper. And so we're going to pray here right before we get started. Well, you know what? I'm going to pray after I read Acts 2. And so follow me in Acts 2. This is chapter 2, starting with verses 14. Here is a heavy message by Peter. Peter's sermon, my Bible says. So look at verse 14. Have your highlighter ready. Let's get to work here. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." So understand, I love this word. There are moments like last Sunday where the opportunity calls us to be loud. And so Peter stands up and says, "Hey, listen, like, don't look at me with squinted eyes. I'm not intoxicated. It's early morning. Like, understand, I'm getting loud because I need you to hear me." And he says, "These are the things that I need you to hear. Understand my words." And Peter says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit onto the flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy, and they shall show wonders in heaven and above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And then the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." Highlight 21. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words." Men of Israel, church, hear these words. Jesus, a man attested by God to you. Will you highlight "to you"? It's important. A man attested to God by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst. And you yourselves also know him by being delivered by the determined purpose, by the foreknowledge of God." Once again, highlight "you." You, not us, not our, you, not them, but you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible, amen, that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at the right hand that I might not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you, I will not leave my souls in Hades, nor will I allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life." Let's slow it down. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the message of God. What does he say? "For you I have made known the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." Back to Peter's words, he says, "Men and brothers, let me speak freely to you." Just picture yourself the church. This man is pleading for souls. He says, "Listen, brothers, I'm not getting loud just to be loud. I'm not intoxicated with alcohol. I'm pleading for you to hear and for you to listen. Brothers, let me speak freely to you. of the patriarch David, and they both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, that he would be raised up with Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, and his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out on this Spirit, he poured out his Holy One, which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself said this, that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at the right hand till I make your enemies footstools. Will you highlight 36? It's a message for you. It is a message for me. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now hear this. Now, when they heard this, when they heard and when they listened to the sermon, they were cut to the heart. And the men and the women, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? Highlight it. You remember last Sunday as Solomon stood in front of the curtain, and what did he say? He said, oh, no. Like, I see the little man. Remember last Sunday, I see the little man scared to death of losing control. And I see the mice stuck to the glue behind me, all staring at the cheese to their death. And what does he say? He says, oh, no, these men heard the gospel. They saw God for who he was, and they knew what they did to him, that they were the one who crucified. And they said, oh, no, what do we do? And Peter said, repent. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Let's bow our heads and pray for our time. God, I thank you for today. If we were to leave right now, it'd be enough. Lord, I pray for your words, not mine. I pray for your greatness, not the ability of man. I pray they see your goodness and they see your perfection and they see your freedom, joy, and peace that waits. Lord, I pray that we stand and we say loudly, hear and listen to the words and to the messages of your truth this morning. As my brother and great friend Brent said, some of us are on highs and some of us are on lows, but the thing that is great about you, Lord, is that you are constant. You are good on the mountaintops and you are good in the valleys. You are great at all times. And so no matter where we find ourselves this morning, if we are on E or we got a full tank, Lord, I pray that we are filled with your Spirit, that we see your goodness, that we are invited into better. I pray that we feast our eyes and our spirits and the only thing that brings joy, hope, and peace and greatness in this life, and that is through you and your Son that was sent for us. Lord, I thank you. For yourself, for the cross, for your word, for your church, and most importantly, your Son and our Savior. And in unity, we say in harmony as a church, amen. So, church, last Sunday, if you were here or you're a listener, last Sunday was a heavy message. It was a loud message. The book of Ecclesiastes at times can be paralyzing. And so one thing that we talked about on Wednesday night as we continued the message of Ecclesiastes, the place that Solomon found himself in, he saw what life was. And when he saw what life was, he got to see who God is. And when you see how low this world might be and really the sickness and the wickedness of this life, God himself is magnified. And Solomon stood in this space and he saw it and he was frozen. He was frozen in this space. And whenever you read a scripture like Ecclesiastes 2, I don't know about you, but for me, I am frozen as well. And no matter how many times I've read it or preached on it, there's always this moment that it demands that I look in the mirror. That's what I prayed for you. If you were here last Sunday, I prayed that it wrecked you. Yeah, I pray that you got in the car and you went home and you just had a moment on your couch or in the mirror or staring at the ceiling where you said, what am I chasing? Am I spending my life running after money and worldly treasures and other gods? Am I putting things ahead of it? Like, what am I doing? Ecclesiastes 2 demands you answer it. Am I wasting my life? Am I leading my family to what's most important? Like, who is the Lord of my life? I pray that you stand in front of the same curtain that Solomon did. It's a heavy message. You can't run from that text. Please hear me. Like, when you see God's word and it's so full of richness and heaviness, as Peter said, listen, I'm not getting loud because I'm intoxicated. I'm begging for you to hear and to listen. You can't not hear the message last Sunday. I don't care if you're lost or you're saved. Like, when someone looks at you and says, hey, do not be blind. God's the only thing that's mattered. You could be lost and going to hell and you still hear my words. However, as the speaker of those words on Sunday morning, I'm often left thinking, like, what you heard. I'm fascinated by it, actually. Like, to the point, sometimes I will call and ask you. I will see you in the halls on Wednesday and I'll make you very uncomfortable. And I'll say, hey, Lori, like, what did you hear? I'll say, I want to know. I'm just curious. After I gave 55 minutes of this is the meaning of life. This is all vanity of vanities, grasping for the wind. God and Jesus King is the only thing that's mattered. Lori, what did you hear? Tell me. Because I've noticed this one thing. Is that there are times when you plead with people's souls and you ask questions of, are you in the airport just watching the planes go off? Are you actually in the air? And you look at individuals and say, did you hear me? Most everybody will say, yeah, I heard you. Most people, when I ask that question, they'll say, hey, Hunter, I was in the room. I heard everything that you say. But the better question is not, did you hear me, but did you listen to the words that I said? There's a difference. There's a difference from just simply hearing and processing what's being said. I started thinking about that. That wasn't my sermon. I was going in a whole different direction. And then a moment with my wife, which I'll share with you in a second, really derailed the message and gave me a new word on Friday afternoon. And I thought to myself the difference between hearing and listening. And I said, hey, Hunter, even though I understand it for the sake of the sermon and where I'm going, but I wonder if I looked it up and defined it, if it would be the same meaning or it would be different. And oh, how God blessed me with such a unique definition of the two words. Please hear me if you're a note taker. The word hearing just simply literally means the acknowledgement of noise. That's what hearing means. Listening is the processing and the responding to what is heard. Please hear me, church. There is a difference between just acknowledging the noise and to be listening to what is being said. As I was saying to you, I got a new message on Friday because my wife has been trying to tell me that there's a difference between hearing and listening for quite some time. And so we have not argued in a long time, guys. I'm going to let you behind our curtain for a second, okay? And I promise you that I had this illustration approved. We haven't argued in quite some time, so we thought Friday morning was prime weather to start that streak again. And so there was a moment where my wife came to me on Friday morning, and she said, hey, Hunter, I have some frustrations to bring to you. That's how we word it. And I said, okay, what is that? And she says, you know what? This perfect parenting style that you have, I don't think it's as perfect as you think that it is. And so there are some things that you're not doing very well, Hunter, when it comes to parenting. And there's some things that I need you to do better, and I need you to fix this. And so that was the problem in front of us, my parenting. And so let me kind of get you behind the curtain and kind of talk to you about how me and my wife have these healthy/unhealthy conversations. And so 95% of the time, not all the time, I can be defensive and ignorant, but 95% of the time in my home, when I am the one who is in the wrong, right? Most of those arguments consist of Wendy coming to me and saying, "Hey, Hunter, you have done this. I need you to do that. Do you understand?" And 95% of the time, I will look at my wife and I go, "Hey, sweetheart, I hear you. I understand what you are saying. I'd be frustrated too. My bad. I'll try my best to fix it." I hear everything that you are saying. And so that is a 60-second conversation. Like, I am not the individual that says, "What?" and just start flipping tables and screaming and back and forth. "Let me tell you what's sorry about you." I look at her and I go, "Hey, listen, I hear you. I get it. Let's move on. Next." But here's where the fight starts, because it's not the issue in my home. The issue and the fight comes, I say I hear her, hang on it, but she keeps talking, right? And like, there's this moment where I go, "Hey, babe, I heard you. Like, I get it. I can repeat. I understand. I can probably play it back than what you're going to tell me. Like, I understand your frustration. I got it. Let's move on." Right? My wife says, "Hey, listen to me. And here's where the sermon is." She says, "Hunter, there is a difference between being able to repeat what you've heard and listening to what I'm saying." Hey, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. You know how your house is where you go, "Man, we've been having the same argument for 20 years, right?" And you're like, "I've heard this a million times and I've said this a million times. I'm just on playback constantly with my husband or my wife. I've heard this a million times." It wasn't till Friday morning till I saw this moment of going, "Hunter, you are the best of the best of hearing, but you might be the worst of the worst of listening." And I looked at my bride and I said, "Hey, sweetheart, well, understand this. You are making it to the sermon Sunday. You are making it up there. Please hear me, guys. It is easier to hear than it is to listen. It is easier to acknowledge that there are noises around me, important or unimportant, than to process and to respond, to listen to what you have actually heard. It is easy to acknowledge. It is hard to reflect and to respond. And so I kept telling you to highlight you. In Acts 2, Peter says, "Church, please hear me. Do not just listen to my sermon like it's a normal Sunday morning. Listen to me because I'm speaking to you. You crucified Christ. You are the ones that did this." And you know, there were some people that were looking at each other going, "Hey, listen, man, I was in Memphis. What's he talking about me? Like, I know I'm not the best guy in the world, but I haven't murdered anybody. Like, I hear him up on stage and I hope that guy on the front row, because I know how he's living, I hope he's listening." Peter goes, "Hey, listen, sister, I'm talking to you. You are the one that the messages of God is going to each and every single one of us. This isn't man performing for you for 45 minutes. This is the inherent word of God that is the best truth that you have in front of you, speaking to you personally. It is living and active. It is speaking to you. Are you not just hearing, but are you processing to respond? Are you listening to God?" People will come to me often, and they'll say to me, I've heard it a million times, they'll say to me, in almost a sense of being put off or confused or attacked, like, "Hey, Hunter, I kind of feel like you are kind of talking to me." Newsflash, I am talking to you. I am. I'm not hiding it. I'm coming like right at you. It is not a coincidence that God's word is convicting and encouraging and bringing comfort. That is what it's meant to do. Are you listening? See, guys, it is easier to hear than it is to listen. You don't have to flip, but for those that are lost this morning, you don't have to flip. Just listen to me. This is God's word talking to you. In Luke 13, it says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Man, perish is a hard word. Perish is heavy. For you guys that are right now, that you know that you have not put your faith and trust in Christ and you are not secure. You're in the airport watching the planes leave while you are standing drinking your coffee. It says you will perish. This is not a word for the many. This is a word for you. Like, do you just hear the noise? Are you listening to what God is saying to you? I think the church, I think so many of you and me in my life, we have gone to so many sermons and listening and hearing, but we have not digested what God has said to us. And so you do things like the Lord's Supper every fifth Sunday of the year, and you bow your heads and you close your eyes and you're not thinking about what God is doing in your life. Peter says, listen, I'm speaking to you. And what did the men say? Man, I was crushed. I was wrecked. I was pierced to the heart. Like, what do we do for those that are saved? You don't have to flip. For those that are saved, but you are living in sin. You are saved, but you are living in sin, which for most of us is all of us. None of us are perfect. We all fall short. We all need to repent on a daily basis, if not hourly. Listen to what it says in Proverbs. It says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. And you're like, oh man, I agree with every word of that, Hunter. I hope they're listening. Are you listening? I'm not going to preach this sermon and go, hey, guys, what'd you hear? And he goes, hey, listen, I heard you. I'm asking, are you listening? Some of you in this room are going to perish. You're going to perish. That is a heavy word. I'm not asking if you heard me. I'm asking if you are listening to what I'm saying. For some of you, glory waits, but you are not prospering because you are rationalizing your sin and there are weights around your ankles that are drowning you. Do you hear me? Yes, glory is waiting for you. Check box that one. That is awesome. But you are drowning here on earth because you keep coming in and you keep listening to sermons and not digesting what is being said. Please hear me. I think so many of us, God is just a voice in the background, noise behind us, not the message of the God who looks to save and to prosper. How can we hear so many messages and not listen? I remember there was a dark time in my ministry where I was surrounded by people. It was when I was in school and early on where people just like to sit around and drink coffee and talk theology, in which I enjoy that as much as the next guy. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But I noticed all these conversations of these people just sitting around, just debating and arguing like the fine print of the Bible. And I remember having this moment where I looked at one of them and I said, hey, brother, hey, listen, I can talk about this all day long, okay? Let me ask you, how's the Holy Spirit working in your life? And they had nothing for me. Like, are you leading your wife well? They had nothing for me. Are you chasing idols? Are you walking with Christ? And they had nothing for me. Why? Because as they grew in knowledge, they were dying in real faith. You see, the church is filled with these people. Debating verses and arguing books while their family dies. And their marriages die. And their faith dies. The Bible says, he who covers up his sins, for the man and the woman who does not listen to the word of God, the message is in which for them, but whoever confesses and forsakes them, they will have mercy. Is God just a noise for you? Are you listening to what he is saying to you this morning? When I get into my van, I got this one approved by it too. When I got into my van, and I choose not to buckle, right? Because who buckles their seatbelt? When I get in my vehicle and I buckle my seatbelt, my little daughter just raised her hand. She was like, I did. When I choose not to buckle, I get so frustrated and annoyed with the constant dinging that will not stop. That's why I love older vehicles before technology. These new vehicles, they're just a burden to me. It's the one thing I like about my Prius. And so I get in this van and just constant, and this is not like every minute. This is like every 5 seconds. It's ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Like to the point where I'm screaming at my vehicle, I hear you. I am choosing not to buckle because you wrinkle my shirts up and restrict me. I don't enjoy doing it and I refuse to do so, right? I hear the noise, but I don't listen to what is actually being said because you know what it's saying? Hey, Hunter, you could die. Like, hey, brother, like, I put this simple seatbelt in your vehicle to help you, to save you in the midst of a collision. All you hear is an annoying ding that you yell about, but you are not listening to what that ding represents, right? I have so far as sat at my desk at my computer, Googling and researching, how do I get this dinging to stop? Never have I sat and said, what do you think it's trying to tell me? That is our life. I have acknowledged the noise. I fully hear it. Every ding. I've spent years and years and years never listening to what it's trying to tell me. Guys, when you walk into this building, when you open up this book, when you fall to your knees, eyes closed in prayer, that is not just simply an hour on Sunday or a book of stories. These are the messages of God through his perfect word for those that will listen. Not just simply hear. These words are to comfort and to encourage and to shake those that are humble. It says it. I told you to put a tassel in James. I want you to see it. Let's slow it down because I'm going to have you flip once or twice. I want you to see the words. Look at James 1. These are the perfect words of Christ for those that will listen. Look at James and what he says here in chapter 1, verse 21. Will you highlight 21 for me? It says, brothers and sisters, therefore lay aside all filthiness. Who's he talking to? He's talking to you and he's talking to me. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls, so that you don't perish. He says, humble yourself. Who? The wicked and the sinful. Well, who is that? That is you. That is me. I told you I'd have you flip. This is a truth that Solomon experienced himself from the Creator himself. I want you to see it, okay? Go to 2 Chronicles 7 for me. We were talking about Solomon last week. I want you to see this. This is from the mouth of God himself. And then keep that tassel in James. We're going to go back to it. And this is the message of the Lord's Supper. Look at chapter 7, verse 12. In 2 Chronicles. God's word says this, and then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. And he said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, will you highlight it and hang on to it? Will you hear the noise and will you listen and process and respond to what's being said? He says, if my people, if you, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive them of their sins, and then I will heal their land. Go back to James 1, please. As you flip, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins. And guess what, church? I will heal their land. Are you listening to God's word? Are you listening to God's word? Are you just simply hearing the noise? Like with me arguing with my wife, sweetheart, I hear you, I understand. I might not agree to the extent that you're saying, but I'll do my best, okay? And it's a battle for 20 years because I've never listened to a word she said. I've heard every syllable, but I've never responded or processed. What does James say? 21, hear it again, last time I have you flip. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word. Hang with me, church. But be doers of the word, and not just hearers of the word, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer only of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he sees it, right? He stands in front of the curtain. He's heard a million sermons and he grew up in the church. I know all of these verses by heart, Hunter. He observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Because I never thought God was talking to me. How was church today? Oh yeah, music was good. Hunter did well. I enjoy what's going on with the youth group. Church is great. No, hey, what is God saying to you? Is God's word encouraging, comforting, or is he calling you to repentance this morning? He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I was thinking to myself as we start to get ready for the Lord's Supper this morning about that van that frustrates me. You know, not only does it ding every 5 seconds with a warning that I don't listen to, my van wants me to buckle up so much. I don't know if your vehicle does this, but until I buckle, I can't turn the radio on. Any of your vehicles do this? So I have to hear the ding. I can't turn my music up louder than that ding. So literally it says, hey, Hunter, I can't put your car in park, but if you're going to drive, brother, you're not listening to the music you want to listen to. You're going to hear my voice. Hear this. Let's keep it going. Not only do I hear the ding, not only can I not listen to the music, it won't let me drive over 65 miles an hour, right? Like, this van has a mind of its own. I battle with this van, right? It is wild what this van has restricted me of with this seatbelt. But here's the craziest thing about this whole story and illustration. That is true. That most times, hear me out, please, church, as I beg you to listen. How my sinful heart is. and how man lives, I would rather drive my car hearing the ding, not listening to the music, having my speed limited, than just simply hearing and heeding and listening to the word of buckle your seatbelt. I'm trying to save your life. Man, that is God's word. Peter says, hey, listen, the reason I'm getting loud because this is serious. The reason I'm getting loud is because you spent your life hearing sermons, not listening to one of them. I mean, if you're a note taker, please hear me. Some of you have never heard the music. You hear me? You've never heard the music of peace. You've been to a lot of churches, and you've read a lot of verses, and you've prayed a lot of prayers, and you have never heard the song of joy. Because you've refused to heed the messages of God. Because they've never been for you. The messages in the Word of God has just been noise in the background that you go, yeah, Hunter, I heard you on Sunday. But are you listening to what is being said? For some of us in this room, you are saved by God's grace, but you haven't heard the songs of God for a long time. And right now, you are living in sin, and you know you're living in sin. And you know there's things in your life that you know that the Holy Spirit has pressed into your soul because you are saved by His grace. And God says, I am not okay with this. But you are living your life rationalizing excuses and running and from the listening of God's message because you want to continue to do these things. And what does the proverb say? You will not prosper in them. Your radio will not shut on and you will not be able to run at the speed in which you hope to run at. You will not be able to live that way. And I pray that you repent. That during our Lord's Supper, that you fall to your knees or at your chair, you come to the altar and say, God, I have heard it because not only am I hearing the noise and acknowledging the sound, I see that you're speaking to me this morning. That is the Lord's Supper. This morning, as we close, I want my praise team to come up, please. I really wonder not what you heard this morning, but what message God has for you this morning. Like, what is the message that God had for my brother Marty that walks onto the stage? What is God saying to my brother Stoney or Jessica? Nobody else stand up because I'll call your name out. For my sweet friend Brooke or for my wife Wendy or for myself, the one who's speaking, what is God saying to you? Because listen, as we go into our Lord's Supper and I call you to seek forgiveness, please do not close your eyes out of respect and wait for me to say amen. You are wasting your time. I pray that you hear that you are the one who crucified Christ. That for your sins, that God sent His Son not to die for those people, but He came to die for you. Because you and I are unworthy. You and I are wicked. You and I are the ones that put Him on the cross. And each and every day, because of our lives, we continue to put Him on the cross. Right now, are you perishing? If you know that you are not saved by God's grace, if you sit here today and you're standing in front of the curtain going, yeah, Mom, yeah, Dad, yeah, Pastor, I heard Him. Are you listening? Are you listening? As I said, for you guys that are saved, men, if you are not leading your family, and you know you're not leading your family, women, as you know that you're not walking beside your husband, man or woman, young or old, that you are not being faithful to the things that God has placed in your life. If you are running after idols and you know it, it is because God is speaking to you. It is not an accident that you feel convicted. It is the Holy Spirit speaking. I pray that you not just hear the noise, but you listen to the message. God, forgive me. Forgive me. As we go into our Lord's Supper, that is what's happening in the Church of Corinth. Like always, I told you that was the last time I have you flip, and I didn't mean it, okay? I want you to see this as we start to close in and we go into our Lord's Supper. I want you to see it in 1 Corinthians, please. This is exactly what was happening in this church. We've said it many times. If you've been a part of this church, you've heard me say it. The Lord's Supper was more about these kids playing church, like our kids play house. They didn't know what they were doing. They came in, they sang some songs, and they got the wine out and the bread, and they did this traditional dance, and they felt better about themselves. They heard a lot of noise, but they refused to buckle up. And Paul comes into this scene, and what does he say? What are you guys doing? You hear me? Like, some of you guys have played church your whole life. Your whole life. You picked the church that you thought was going to help your business. You went to the youth group that all the popular kids were at. You went to the church that you liked the man speaking the most. You did the things that you should do, right? You got up and you put your khakis on Sunday, but you didn't listen to anything. And Paul goes, man, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? And listen to the word in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. For you guys that have never understood the Lord's Supper, I want to paint you that picture. He says, now in giving these instructions, I don't praise you. You hear me? He says, I don't praise you guys for playing this game of church. Since you come together, not for the better, but from the worse. Does that blow your mind that churches are filled today with God not being there? He says, you come together for the worse. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there's divisions among you. And in the part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, for those who are approved may recognize among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. That's not what you guys are doing, even though you think that it is. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. I love that. What? Right? Hundreds of years ago. What? Exclamation point. Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? How do you despise the church of God so much and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? He says, I do not praise you. I do not praise you. However, listen to what it says in 27. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. If you are just coming here to check a box and to hear some noise without listening, he says, you're not here for the right reasons. Just like James, but let a woman examine themselves. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. As we go into prayer here and a call to repentance, I want to read you one more time Proverbs. He who covers his sins will not prosper. Will not prosper, but here's the good news. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So this is the call this morning as we bow our heads. I plead with you to pray. God, I have not just heard this morning, but I have listened. Your Holy Spirit has walked into my life and I have seen your perfection. And in your perfection, I have seen my sin. Do you hear me? If you've never understood the gospel and you've never understood how God works, that is how it works. You don't seek Christ. Christ seeks you. God steps forward in all of his light and all of his perfections. You are amazed because you live in a dark world, but in Ephesians 2, but God who is rich in mercy. You see his perfections. You see his fullness. You are in front of the same curtain as Solomon was. And in his perfections, you see your sins. And you say, God, forgive me. I was not able to see who I was until I got to see who you are. Amen. Amen. It wasn't until your light I saw my darkness. And that is not a message for them. That is a message for you. And so if you are lost today, here's the good news of who Jesus is. Jesus will travel the world to make you His. God, save me. If you are saved today, but you are living in sin and you know it. You know it. I feel like He's talking to me. Let's just skip the charades and let me tell you, I am talking to you. Repent. Because the Bible says you will not prosper. You will keep hearing the dinging. You will not hear the song. And your speed will always be limited. Repent. Hear, listen, process, and respond. God, forgive me. Turn from my sins and let me follow you, God. So I'm going to pray here. My praise team is going to sing. Well, my brother Brent's going to pray here. Come here, man. My brother Brent's going to pray for your life. And as he prays, I want you to pray. And as they sing, keep praying. Keep praying to yourself. God forgive. God forgive. God forgive. Let's bow our heads.
Father, as we bow, as we examine ourselves, Father, I pray that we examine ourselves and we find ourselves hidden through faith and repentance, found alone in Christ. We know that there is only hope in Christ. We know that Jesus Himself says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. We're so thankful He didn't say, let me show you the way. He says, I am the way. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the shepherd of the sheep. Father, in Christ alone is our hope. And as we examine ourselves, let us not examine ourselves too long, Father, because we will find ourselves faithless. But let us shift our eyes to the one who gives us hope, the one that can save. And as we look at Him, let us marvel in the mercy He has given us, in the perfection He has lived, in the death He's endured, in the resurrection that has sealed it all. And Father, we know that He's at the right hand of the Father now. Let us examine ourselves. Are we clinging to Jesus? Because our hope is only found in Christ alone. In Jesus' name, amen.